Okay, we'll call the November 17th meeting of the Police Complaint Board to order. I see no members of the public here, so we will skip over the public comment period. The members of the board were sent out electronically a draft of the September 15 minutes, which I hope you had a chance to review in advance, or if not, prior just now. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
Sure.
Take that as a yes.
Yes, it is a yes.
Okay, any corrections to the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. So the minutes are adopted. And we'll move on to the agency report. Mike?
Yes. Did you note public comment?
We did.
You did? Okay. All right. Thanks. And I'll begin by noting our next meeting will be the week after the inauguration, that Thursday, January 26th, 2017. To make a note of that, I would appreciate it. On our critical issues, we have been informed, as the public has, by Mayor Bowser that they are in the process of selecting a new schools chancellor, and when they were done with that process, then they will begin the process of selecting a permanent police chief. Until then, Interim Chief Newsham is still in office. With respect to the NEAR Act, our last meeting with MPD indicated that they were in the final stages of formulating new general orders for their policies and procedures on what they need to do, and they have agreed to share that with us before distributing it, before enacting it and publishing it, so that we can help them with the final general order. Last week, they started as an experiment sending us the complaints directly, and we got a couple of them. So we are moving forward, although at a glacial pace, but we are moving forward on it. I'm hesitant to push them much on it because there is an interim chief and there's a lot of disruption going on in their administration right now, but I know that they are working on it. So I'm just trying to be patient about it at this point. Next, we have two policy recommendations. The first one is on language and conduct. You have the draft in front of you. Yesterday, we received MPD comments in response to it, and I will just ask Alicia at this time to talk a little bit about that policy.
Sure. So the language and conduct policy recommendation focuses on a couple of best practices from other police departments, some suggestions from the 21st Century Policing Commission on things that MPD can do to better their language and conduct complaints that we receive. As the report notes, we received 945 complaints over about a four-year period that involved language and conduct. So while that's not the vast majority of contacts between police officers and the community, it is a very high number of contacts that we've received, so that's why we decided to focus on it. And a couple of the suggestions involve using scenario-based training more explicitly. We do note that MPD did just enact that with their most recent recruit class. So we recommend that they continue it with future recruit classes, monitor its use, and then also introduce it for existing officers and not just train new officers on it, but also make sure they're working with existing officers on scenario-based training. We also outline a couple of other different techniques, verbal judo being one that we know MPD has used in the past but doesn't seem to be using as frequently or as consistently now. But various different tools that they can give the officers so that situations don't escalate out of hand. We do note in the report that a lot of the time these are escalated situations that can be not only the officer escalating but the complainant or citizen escalating the situation. But we we expect better of the officers, MPD in their general orders expects better of the officers and expects them to be able to maintain their tempers and keep the situation under control. So it's just outlining the tools that MPD can give their officers to enable that to happen. The comments that we got back from MPD on the draft that we sent them were mostly related to giving MPD credit for the things they have done and making sure that the language incorporates that MPD does take this issue seriously. So we did add in a couple of points that, again, talking about the work that they have done to increase better language and conduct among the officers. So we added in a little bit of that and changed tone in a few places just to make it clear that this isn't something that MPD is ignoring completely. We just think there's further steps that they can be taking. So I'm happy to answer any questions on any language or anything that you all found reading through it.
Any questions?
So my only question is when was the last time this general order 201.26 was updated? And I just asked because the other brief is talking about the fact that they're not updating things appropriately, and I wanted to, like, if we can have synergy between the two, that would be great.
I actually do not know that off the top of my head. That is a very good question. This one did not pop up in my list of ones that are more than 10 years old, so I can tell you that it is less than 10 years old.
Okay.
I am happy to get you the exact date if you want that, Paul.
You know what?
It's the one we always quote in the dismissal, so it may not be the date, but I think it is less than 10 years old. It may be less than five because they did update it relatively recently. Okay.
And our plan for distributing these publicly would be issuing, any approval, of course, of the board, would be issuing the language and conduct tomorrow morning. And then the second one later next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not be issued at the same time. But, you know, language and conduct is really, and we talk about it in the report, but it's the cornerstone of police community relations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we thought it was very important. This report has been in the works for 2 years now.
Okay.
And we've updated it a few times and run through different versions of it. And it's been, you know, a lot of people have done a lot of work, including Alicia, on it, and it's the product of a lot of thinking and a lot of review to make sure everything's accurate, but it's time right now, based on everything that's happening, that we put it out in writing, and we really emphasize to MPD that something has to be done, that they really got to put a better emphasis on language and conduct, and this is just indicative that there is an issue going on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the vast majority of contact with police are good and are done in a lawful, appropriate manner, there's still a high number that we're seeing of outliers, and whatever they need to do, they need to do something to put the spotlight on it, and this report will do that. It will force them to do that. So.
Why don't we talk about the other report and then get back to our actions, these two.
Sure. The second report is on the policies and procedures, whether they are current or not. And what we found out originally when we looked at this, and we should talk in more detail about it, but we looked at the use of force policy. And when the use of force policy was updated this past August, we realized that that was the first time use of force policy had been updated in about a decade, I think. So that caused us to start looking more in depth at other things that were going on, and Alicia basically started digging into it and reviewing all of the general orders, policies, procedures to find out what was going on there. That was one part that was going on. The other thing that concerned us that caused us to start looking into it was these seven different types of directives spread in different areas. So whenever we had an issue here with respect to an investigation, we always had to look not just in general orders, but in the special orders, in the executive order, in the seven different places to hope to find the answer and the latest update. And if we have trouble finding it, department members will have trouble finding it, obviously, and so does the community. So that's what brought us to our attention, that we need to look at this a lot more closely. And the third thing that caused it was the 21st Century Policing Task Force report, where they emphasized that having updated policies and procedures, and every consent decree, the last 16 of them issued over the last 6 years now, has brought up, that I know of, all of them have brought up this issue about not having policies and procedures updated, and it puts the district and taxpayers at risk. Because when these things aren't up to date, then you can lead to it can very easily lead to a pattern of practice lawsuit or any type of use of force incident. If the district can't show that their policies and procedures are up to date and the officers are following them and understanding them, they have much more higher likelihood of showing that there's a pattern of practice of misconduct within that realm of whatever that issue was for that lawsuit. So those things were really concerning to us. So that's why we looked at this one.
So yes, Mike said most of it. It really, so I focus on, the board last year did a policy report that actually pointed out one of the general orders being really outdated and needing a lot of updates, and that was the arrest and bench warrants. And there were specific policy concerns with that. That has not been updated since that report on those specific policy concerns, and that general order is over 30 years old at this point. And I mean, just thinking about arrest and bench warrants, you know, there's been a lot of advancements in technology that the officers use. In 1986, when the general order was issued, they did not have the computer systems that they currently have to check addresses. So there's a variety of reasons that a general order like that is outdated and needs to be looked at a lot more often. So that's sort of the example I pull out in here. I also then talk about just looking at the publicly available orders up on the website, or I looked at just the general orders for some numbers, and that's not even all of the general orders that exist in MPD, because they don't make them all publicly available. But of the ones that are publicly available, 118 of 219 are more than 10 years old, and of those, 34 are more than 30 years old. Now, some of them are, you know, information on retirement or administrative procedures or something that may not need to change in 30 years, but that is certainly not all of them. And even retirement, you would think, would have some updates in 30 years. So that's sort of the impetus behind this. As Mike said, the 21st Century Task Force, every single consent decree has all made the issue of keeping policies and procedures up to date a cornerstone. In addition, there's been other research that is cited throughout the report by the Police Foundation that also talks about keeping policies up to date. One did a survey of law enforcement, and 90% of the respondents said that policies should be dynamic and updated constantly. So we really relied on the advice of DOJ, the federal government through the President's Task Force, through the consent decrees, and then also through independent research that has all shown that policies should be updated. And I think just common sense also tells us that policies should be looked at more often than 10, 30 years. MPD does have some concerns with some things in this report. We did send it to them a few weeks ago and made significant revisions based on their comments. They still have issues with the recommendation of, we actually changed it to updating policies or at least reviewing policies every 2 years. They don't even necessarily need to be changed every 2 years, but we just want to make sure that they're at least looked at and somebody decides that every other year. And we also recommend some sort of accreditation process, an example of which is CALEA, the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. MPD has issues with both of those recommendations, so just putting that out there so you know there will be pushback on that. But we felt very strongly that those recommendations needed to stay in to keep MPD accountable on keeping these policies and procedures up to date.
Other questions or comments from members of the board? Mike, I'm going to suggest for two reasons, and the other board members can maybe, based on their own schedule, speak to this, but flipping the release date for these two, at least for me, I mean, I had time, no surprise, to look at the shorter one, and I'm comfortable with it to move ahead. And I'd like to read this, but more importantly, I think this is a very important issue, mm-hmm. and I think dumping it on a Friday before Thanksgiving is not a good news mm-hmm. day to do it. So if you don't think it messes up what your plans mm-hmm. were, what about putting off this until the Monday after Thanksgiving? Not to release the Monday after Thanksgiving. We'll give the board to the Wednesday the 23rd to respond, and then release it then, which I think will get more news attention. Mm-hmm. Fridays, I think, are generally a bad day for press releases. To begin with,
right.
Friday before Thanksgiving, I'm particularly worried about. And then move ahead on, if you want to release this one tomorrow, because I think it's more technical. It's not really that, to the general public, it's not of great interest, but I think people in certain positions will read it.
Sure. There was a reason we were going to do it, release that tomorrow,
yeah.
And it had to do with timing of it. Another potential article by another news media that we are still not sure of, but thought may have been coming out this weekend, and it would tie in with that other media outlet, but we don't know yet. And we wanted to reach out to that outlet tomorrow to get some information from them. But I agree with everything you say, Kurt, because we had talked about that
yeah.
just within the last 2 hours about the timing of it. But
I mean, I'm also worried about the short time for the board to read through it.
Sure.
Is this a lost opportunity of great value, or?
I won't know until tomorrow for sure, but I won't have a problem with, going along with your suggestion that, we could. If you wanted to vote on both of them today. But it sounds like you want to it sounds like to me like if you wanted to vote on one of them today
right.
and then have some time to review the second one. And I don't think it's not going to be a huge deal. I'm just explaining the reasoning why we had an original plan in place, and it's very fluid at this time. I'm not even sure. I may not even know tomorrow what the answer is. So it's not a problem.
All right. Is the other board members, any thoughts?
I'm kind of flexible. If you feel strongly, I'm willing to support that. Because I've already read it.
And
I love
it.
If it matters, I do have an answer to Paul's question from earlier.
Okay.
The general order on language and conduct, we have it in a footnote, which I found, was effective April 2011. So
okay.
It is about 5 years old. But considering 10 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right,
recent.
Right.
Yeah, your reasoning does make a lot of sense. So,
Paul, any thoughts?
No, I was
you
actually going to say.
You were a model student and read the whole thing?
Well, I did read both of them. I was a model student as well. But I do agree. I was going to make a similar comment that, particularly because you mentioned the time that this has been waiting to be released, and also the amount of work that's gone into it, and the importance of the content. I do have concerns about it being released, at what I consider a dead zone in terms of people actually looking at anything substantive. But then again, if there is, you just laid out the strategy related to it, so.
Yeah, and again, I won't know, and I may not even know tomorrow, so I have no problem with
Let's do that. If any reason, Mike, you talk to the reporter, he wants it. I mean, since two of the board members here already have diligently read through it, just give me a call. I mean, I will try to read this tonight, so I have done that. If it's opportune for the news story to get it out tomorrow, we can work on that. If the news story is not happening, then let's do it on a better news. I think the 28th would be a better news day.
Sure. That's great.
So with that, let me put on the floor the other policy recommendation on ensuring that MPD policies are current. Is there a motion to approve the staff draft of that policy?
I move to approve the draft.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. So you got one down.
All right. And then what?
And then, per our usual policy, the members of the board, also let Jamira know this, have until close of business Wednesday, November 23rd to respond, and the lack of response is considered approval.
And we would anticipate release the following
Monday.
Because
the next day will be Thanksgiving, and then Friday after Thanksgiving, which is a terrible time to do it.
Very good.
The 23rd.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I mean, let me add to that that the should there be a opportunity that the chair is authorized to move that date up until tomorrow. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Read this out my packet so I can read it.
Okay. Continuing with the board report then. Got a couple more things to talk about. I will skip then forward then. Everyone has received the board report.
I read the board report last.
Okay, good.
And I know these two do.
Yes.
They read everything.
So let's go to the last part then, in the investigation status, section 9, page 7. And Mona, could you summarize the investigation status statistics, please?
Just, I guess, a note would be that we are up on complaints received so far this year, as well as pending formal meeting cases that we have inquiries about, complaints that could easily turn into formal complaints, and also, of course, continuing to have more contacts. So last year, 2016, we had a ton of over 1,000, I think, contacts. There were over 1,000 contacts. So we continue to go up in those numbers, and so that's, I guess, we're kind of bracing for having more complaints and getting more MPD complaints and things like that. And even though we haven't seen a huge influx yet from MPD, it's just kind of been drizzling in. But overall, our complaint numbers we do have almost 20 more than we did last year at this time. So we made the fiscal year. Not a lot of other change other than we did include in the status open cases the new policy training, which we're sending a lot more cases that. And then I just realized, because we didn't have one a closure yet this year, but we actually just have one this week, so I'll add for next year, next board report, to the closures by type a section for policy training, because we will have some by our next board report. I think that's the real highlights. We'll also have more decisions. We had a ton last year. I think we finished with 30 complaint examination cases. And we do have some there. So we really got rid of, that's going to be a big highlight in the annual report, more than we've ever had. And all but one were sustained as well. So, and then, but we will have some, we did just get a decision in. It's not closed out yet, but we'll have more.
There's two. So two. We're already going to have two, and there's
one more before the next. Yeah. So that will be, back on track. But, that's something that, because we had a lot of older cases and backlog cases, we went to complaint examination last fiscal year, those numbers will be really small. But I think those are the main highlights, I would say, for that. Any questions about SACs or policy training or anything?
I wanted to mention just an addendum to that, then, if it's not on that status sheet. And we're working on our annual report right now. Our goal is to get that out, hopefully by the end of the calendar year. So we'll have a lot more information at that time when that comes out. But Mona brought this to my attention, too, for the fourth quarter. For for the last 10 years, almost the goal for completing cases has been to get 60% of our investigations done within 6 months. And since the agency has been around, I don't think we've ever met that goal. That's our district goal, that's monitored by the administration. In the fourth quarter, we it's always kind of hovering around 35-40% of our cases were done within 6 months, with the majority of them being more than that, and a lot of them being over a year old. So now that we've got the backlog situation under control, The last quarter, we had completed 70% of our cases.
Actually, that was for the whole year.
That was the whole year?
Yeah, the whole year was actually 69 point something percent.
69.45.
And then that last quarter was like something like 80 or something.
Yeah.
Or, so that was the last bit of backlog. So.
It's a complete inversion.
Yeah.
For the first time in the agency history, apparently, that we've got such really good numbers. They call them KPI indicator numbers that the district keeps track tabs of us on. And those are the numbers we're going to be reporting. So they're very good numbers.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Just wanted to
hard-working staff, Mike. Give them next Thursday off.
Well, I'll think about it.
How about give us next Friday off?
That would be better. Yeah.
If I could, another highlight of that was that 13% of the resolved cases were resolved through mediation, which is a high number for us, too.
Right. That was the highest, too.
So that helps towards community relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Was
that 13? More good news? You have more good news for us?
I have lots more, but I'll save it for next time.
All right. Any other? No other business?
That concludes the business.
Other members of the board, have any matters to bring before the board? Is there a motion to adjourn for the year?
The year? I so move.
Motion passes.